Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
I have always loved the Boy Scouts, the campfires, the badges, the camaraderie. It was my escape from the monotony of small-town life. But that summer, the summer of 1994, everything changed. It was the summer that never really ended, at least not in my mind. My name's Jack. And I was 14 years old when Mr. Caldwell became our new scout leader. Looking back, I should have known something was off from the very beginning. It was late May. Our troop was gathering for the first meeting of the summer at the old community center. The peeling paint and musty smell were as familiar to me as my own bedroom. I took my usual seat between my best friend Thatcher and the ever-fidgeting Spork. Yeah, that's his real name. His hippie parents had a lot to answer for. "Where's Mr. Holloway?" Thatcher whispered, his freckled face scrunched up in confusion. Our old leader was nowhere to be seen. Before I could respond, the double doors at the back of the room swung open with a creak that sent my teeth on edge. In walked a man I had never seen before. He was tall, impossibly tall, with limbs that seemed just a little too long for his body. His skin was pale, almost translucent, like he had never seen the sun. But it was his eyes that really got me. They were the palest blue I had ever seen, so light they almost looked white.
"Good evening, boys," he said, his voice surprisingly deep and smooth. "I'm Mr. Caldwell, your new scout leader."
A murmur ran through the room. "New leader? What happened to Mr. Holloway?" Mr. Caldwell smiled, but it didn't reach his eyes.
"I know this is unexpected, but Mr. Holloway had to step down due to personal reasons. I'm looking forward to getting to know each and every one of you."
And as he said this, his gaze swept across the room, and for a split second, I could have sworn his eyes lingered on me. A chill ran down my spine, and I couldn't shake the feeling that something was very, very wrong. The meeting proceeded as normal, but there was an undercurrent of unease that I couldn't quite put my finger on. Mr. Caldwell was polite, even charming at times, but there was something about him that just felt off. After the meeting, as we were filing out, I overheard Ziggy, our resident conspiracy theorist, whispering to Blank, the quiet kid who always had his nose in a book.
"I'm telling you, man, something's not right with this guy," Ziggy hissed. "Did you see how he kept staring at Jack? It's like he was sizing him up or something."
Blank just shrugged, but I felt my stomach do a flip. So, I wasn't the only one who had noticed. As the weeks went by, things got progressively weirder. Mr. Caldwell seemed to take a special interest in me, always calling me on to demonstrate knots or lead discussions. At first, I was flattered by the attention, but it soon became uncomfortable. Then there was the strange occurrences. Items would go missing from our packs, only to turn up in odd places. The forest around our usual campsite seemed different somehow, darker, more oppressive. And more than once, I could have sworn I saw Mr. Caldwell standing at the edge of the woods watching us when he was supposed to be back at the main camp. It all came to a head during our annual summer camping trip. We were deep in the woods, further than we had ever gone before. Mr. Coldwell said that he knew a special spot, a hidden lake that would be perfect for our week-long excursion. As we hiked, I couldn't shake the feeling that we were being watched. The trees seemed to close in around us, their branches reaching out like gnarled fingers. More than once, I thought I heard whispers on the wind, but when I turned to look, there was nothing there. We reached the lake just as the sun was setting. It was beautiful, I'll give it that. Crystal clear water reflected the orange and pink sky. But there was something else, too. A heaviness in the air, a sense of anticipation, like the whole forest was holding its breath.
"All right, boys," Mr. Coldwell said, clapping his hands together. "Let's set up camp. Jack, why don't you and Thatcher go collect some firewood?"
I nodded, grateful for the chance to talk to my friend alone. As soon as we were out of earshot, Thatcher turned to me, his face pale in the fading light.
"Jack, we need to get out of here," he whispered urgently. "Something's not right. I saw something in the lake."
I felt my heart rate pick up.
"What do you mean? What did you see?"
Thatcher shook his head, his eyes wide with fear.
"I don't know, man. It was just for a second, but I swear I saw faces in the water. Dozens of them, all staring up at us."
I wanted to tell him that he was crazy, that it was just a trick of the light. But deep down, I knew better. I had felt it too. The wrongness of this place. The sense that we were in terrible danger.
"Okay," I said, trying to keep my voice steady.
"We'll wait until everyone's asleep, then we'll wake up Spork and Ziggy. The four of us can make a run for it, get help."
Thatcher nodded, relief washing over his face. "Yeah, okay, that sounds like a plan."
We gathered the firewood and headed back to camp, trying to act normal. But as we approached, I knew immediately that something was wrong. The camp was too quiet. Where were the usual sounds of boys laughing, arguing over who got which tent? As we entered the clearing, my blood ran cold. Our entire group was standing in a circle around an unlit fire pit, their backs to us. And at the center of the circle stood Mr. Coldwell, his pale eyes gleaming in the twilight.
"Ah, Jack, Thatcher," he said, his voice sending shivers down my spine. "So good of you to join us. We've been waiting for you."
As one, the other boys turned to face us. Their eyes were blank, pupilless, reflecting the same pale blue as Mr. Coldwell's. Even Spork and Ziggy, usually so full of life, stood motionless, their faces devoid of expression.
"What's going on?"
I managed to choke out, even as every instinct screamed at me to run. Mr. Coldwell's smile widened, revealing teeth that seemed a little too sharp.
"Why, Jack, isn't it obvious? We're having an initiation, and you're the guest of honor."
He gestured towards the lake, and I saw that the water was beginning to churn and bubble. Something was rising from its depths, something ancient and terrible.
"You see, Jack," Mr. Coldwell continued, his voice taking on an otherworldly quality. "This lake has been waiting for a very long time. It needs fresh souls to sustain it, to keep it alive. And you, my boy, have been the purest soul I've seen in centuries."
Centuries? My mind reeled, unable to process what was happening. This couldn't be real. It had to be a nightmare. But as tentacles began to emerge from the lake, writhing and grasping at the air, I knew with horrifying certainty that this was all too real.
"Run!"
I screamed at Thatcher, shoving him towards the trees. We took off, crashing through the underbrush, the sounds of pursuit close behind us. Branches whipped at my face. Roots seemed to reach up to trip me, but I kept running. I could hear Thatcher's ragged breathing beside me, punctuated by sobs of terror. We ran for what felt like hours, the forest growing darker and more twisted around us. Finally, gasping for air, we collapsed behind a fallen tree.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Did we lose them?
Thatcher panted, his eyes wild with fear. I peered over the log, straining to see or hear any sign of our pursuers. The forest was eerily silent. No birds, no insects, not even the rustle of leaves in the wind.
I think so,
I whispered, not quite believing it myself. But we need to keep moving. We have to find help, save the others. Thatcher nodded, wiping tears from his dirt-streaked face.
What about Spork and Ziggy and Blink? We can't just leave them.
The guilt hit me like a punch to the gut. In our panic to escape, we had abandoned our friends to whatever horrific fate awaited them at that cursed lake.
We'll come back for them, I promised, hoping that I sounded more confident than I felt.
But first, we need to get out of these woods and find someone who could help. As we stumbled to our feet, a twig snapped somewhere behind us. We froze, hardly daring to breathe.
Jack? Thatcher?
It was Ziggy's voice, but there was something wrong with it. It sounded hollow, like it was coming from the bottom of a well.
Where are you guys? Mr. Coldwell says it's time to come back now. The water's so nice and cool. Don't you want to join us?
I grabbed Thatcher's arm, ready to run again, but he was rooted to the spot, staring at something over my shoulder. Slowly, dreading what I might see, I turned around. Ziggy stood at the edge of a small clearing, his skin growing faintly in the moonlight. But it really wasn't Ziggy anymore. His eyes were those same horrible pale blue, and his skin seemed to ripple and shift as if something was moving beneath it.
Come on, guys,
Not Ziggy said, his mouth stretching into an impossibly wide grin.
Everyone's waiting. It's time for you to become one with the lake.
With a strangled cry, Thatcher broke free of my grip and took off running. I didn't hesitate, following close behind him. The thing that used to be our friend let out an inhuman screech and gave chase. We ran blindly through the dark forest, branches tearing at our clothing and skin. I could hear more voices now, calling out to us with sweet promises and terrible threats. The voices of our friends, of Mr. Coldwell and others. Older, deeper voices that seemed to come from the earth itself. Just when I thought my lungs would burst, we bursted out of the tree line out onto a dirt road. In the distance, I could see the glow of streetlights.
There, I said, pointing. The town, we're almost there.
But as we ran towards the lights, I realized something was wrong. The town looked off. The buildings were warped, the streets twisted at impossible angles, and the lights weren't the warm yellow of street lamps, but the same sickly pale blue as Mr. Coldwell's eyes. "No," I moaned, the last shred of hope dying in my chest. "This can't be happening." Thatcher grabbed my arm, his nails digging into my skin. "Jack," he whispered, his voice trembling. "Look." I followed his gaze and felt the bottom drop out of my world. Standing in the middle of the road, blocking our path, was Mr. Coldwell. But he wasn't human anymore, if he ever had been. His body had elongated, his arms now reaching to the ground, ending in wicked claws. His mouth had split open, revealing row upon row of needle-sharp teeth. "Did you really think you could escape?" Mr. Coldwell's voice boomed, seeming to come from everywhere at once. "This is my domain, boys. The lake, the forest, the town. It's all a part of me, and soon you will be too." As he spoke, the road beneath our feet began to liquefy, turning into the same dark water we had seen in the lake. I could feel it pulling at me, trying to drag me down. "Jack!" Thatcher screamed as he began to sink. I grabbed his hand, trying to pull him free, but the water was too strong. "Hold on!" I yelled, even as I felt myself being pulled under. The last thing I saw before the dark water closed over my head was Mr. Coldwell's triumphant grin. I woke up gasping, my sheets soaked with sweat. My room was dark, the only light coming from the digital clock on the bedside table. 3:33 a.m. For a moment, I let myself believe it had all been a horrible nightmare. But then I felt it. A wetness in my skin that wasn't sweat. I turned on my lamp and looked down at my arms. They were covered in lake water, bits of algae clinging to my skin. With trembling hands, I reached for the phone, ready to call for help. But as I picked up the receiver, I heard a familiar voice on the other end. "Having trouble sleeping, Jack?" Mr. Coldwell's smooth voice purred. "Don't worry. The lake is waiting for you. It will always be waiting for you." I slammed the phone down, my heart pounding. This couldn't be real. It had to be some kind of hallucination, a waking nightmare. But as I sat there in my bed, shivering despite the summer heat, I knew the truth. The nightmare wasn't over. It was just beginning. In the days that followed, I tried to convince myself that it had all been some kind of mass hallucination. Maybe we had eaten some bad berries, or been exposed to some kind of toxic gas in the forest. But deep down, I knew better. My parents were concerned, of course. Their son had disappeared into the woods with his scout troop and emerged 3 days later, babbling about monsters and living lakes. The other boys who had made it back, and there was only a few of us, told similar stories. We were all subjected to medical tests, psychological evaluations, even hypnosis. But in the end, the official story was that we had gotten lost in the woods and our minds had played tricks on us. But I know the truth. And so did Thatcher, Spork, and Blank, the only other survivors of that horrific night. We made a pact to never speak of what really happened, but I could see the knowledge weighing on them, just as it had weighed on me. The nightmares continued. Every night, I found myself back at that lake, watching as my friends were dragged into the murky depths. Sometimes I was the one doing the dragging, my body no longer my own. I'd wake up gasping, my sheets soaked with sweat, in something that smelled suspiciously like lake water. Months passed. The town tried to move on, to forget the tragedy of the lost Boy Scout troop. A new leader appointed, and the surviving boys were encouraged to rejoin. But none of us did. How could we, knowing what we knew? It was a crisp fall day when I saw him again. I was walking home from school, kicking through piles of fallen leaves, when I felt a familiar chill run down my spine. I looked up, and there he was, standing on the corner across the street. Mr. Coldwell. He looked exactly the same, tall, pale, with those unsettling blue eyes. He smiled at me, a smile that was all wrong, too wide and full of too many teeth. Then he raised a hand and beckoned to me. I ran. I ran all the way home and locked myself in my room, my heart pounding so hard I thought it might burst out of my chest. When my parents finally coaxed me out, I told them I had seen a stranger who scared me. I couldn't bring myself to tell them the truth. But that was just the beginning. I started seeing him everywhere, in the crowd at the grocery store, lurking at the edge of the school playground, standing outside my window at night. Sometimes he looked human, other times, not so much. The others saw him too. Thatcher called me one night, his voice shaking, to tell me he had seen Mr. Coldwell in his backyard, just standing there, staring at his window. Spork's parents ended up moving away after he had a complete breakdown at school, screaming that the walls were melting in the water. I tried to be strong, to convince myself that it wasn't real. But how do you fight something that can twist reality itself? How do you escape?
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey everybody, it's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
When the very town you live in might be part of the monster. As winter set in, bringing with it long, dark nights, I found myself sleeping less and less. I was afraid of what I might see in my dreams, afraid that one night I may not wake up at all. My grades started to slip, and I withdrew from my friends, what few I had left. It all came to a head on a snowy night in December. I was home alone, my parents at a Christmas party. As I sat in the living room trying to focus on my homework, I heard the sound that made my blood run cold, the slow, rhythmic drip of water. I looked up, my heart in my throat, to see water seeping in from under the front door. But it wasn't normal water. It was dark, almost black, and it moved with a purpose, creeping across the floor towards me. I jumped up, knocking over my chair in my haste. The dripping sound grew louder, and I realized with horror that it was coming from everywhere. The windows, the walls, even the ceiling. The house was being invaded by the lake.
"No," I whispered, backing away. "This isn't real. It can't be real."
But I could smell it now. That unmistakable scent of stagnant water and decay that I remembered so vividly from back at that cursed camping trip. As I watched, paralyzed with fear, the water began to take shape. Tendrils rose from the growing puddles, reaching for me with terrifying intent. I turned to run, but only found my path blocked by a familiar figure. Mr. Coldwell stood in the doorway, his pale eyes gleaming with triumph.
"Did you really think you could escape, Jack?" he asked, his voice echoing strangely in the waterlogged room. "The lake has chosen you. It is time to come home."
I wanted to scream, to fight, to do anything but stand there frozen as the water crept up my legs. But my body wouldn't respond.
It was like I was trapped in one of my nightmares, helpless to do anything but watch as the horror unfolded. Just as the water reached my waist, there was a pounding at my front door. Jack! Jack, are you there? It was Thatcher's voice, filled with panic. The sound of my friend's voice broke whatever spell had been holding me. With a desperate lunge, I broke free of the water's grasp and ran for the door, sloshing through the ankle-deep water that now covered the floor. I yanked the door open to find Thatcher standing there, his face pale and drawn. "We have to go," he gasped. "Now, they're coming for all of us." I didn't need to ask who they were. I could see the fear in Thatcher's eyes, the same fear that had haunted me for months. Without a word, I grabbed my coat and followed him out into the snowy night. As we ran down the street, I could hear the sound of rushing water behind us. I dared to glance back and immediately wished I hadn't. The entire street was flooded, a dark tide that was quickly gaining on us. And in the midst of it all, I could see figures moving, distorted, inhuman shapes that might once have been our fellow scouts. "This way!" Thatcher yelled, pulling me down a side street. "Spork and Blink are waiting for us. We have a plan." "A plan?" I wanted to ask what kind of plan could possibly save us from this nightmare, but I was too out of breath to speak. We ran through the deserted streets, the sound of pursuit always just behind us. Finally, we arrived at an old abandoned factory on the outskirts of town. Spork and Blink were there, looking just as terrified as I felt. They had a car, an old beater that looked like it had seen better days. "Get in," Spork yelled, already behind the wheel. We piled in, and Spork gunned the engine before I had even closed the door. As we sped out of town, I finally found my voice. "What's going on? Where are we going?" Blink turned to me, his usually quiet demeanor replaced by grim determination. "We're getting out of here, Jack, for good. This town, it's not right. It hasn't been right since that camping trip. We think this whole place is under the lake's influence somehow." I felt a chill that had nothing to do with the winter night. "But what about our families? We can't just leave them." Thatcher put a hand on my shoulder. "We don't have a choice, man. It's too late for them. If we stay, we'll end up just like the others." I wanted to argue, to insist that we go back and try to save everyone. But deep down, I knew they were right. Whatever had happened at that lake, whatever Mr. Coldwell really was, it had infected our entire town. And we were the only ones who could see it. As we drove through the night, leaving behind everything we had ever known, I couldn't shake the feeling that this was only the beginning. The lake had chosen us for a reason, and I had a sinking feeling that it wasn't going to let go so easily. Hours passed, and as the first light of dawn began to creep over the horizon, I allowed myself to hope. Maybe we had escaped. Maybe we were finally free. But then Spork, who had been quiet for the past hour, spoke up. "Guys," he said, his voice trembling. "Do you hear that?" We all fell silent, straining our ears. At first, I didn't hear anything over the rumble of the car's engine, but then I caught it. A faint but unmistakable sound. Drip, drip, drip. I looked down in horror to see water seeping from the floorboards of the car. Dark, murky water that smelled of rot and decay. "No," I whispered. "No, no, no." Blink let out a strangled cry. "Look!" We all turned to see what he was pointing at. There, in the rearview mirror, was a sight that made my heart stop. The road behind us was gone, replaced by an endless expanse of dark water. And rising from that water, growing larger with every second, was a massive wave. As it crested, I could see a figure. Even at that distance,
I recognized the two long limbs, the pale skin, the inhuman grin of Mr. Coldwell.
"Drive faster!"
Thatcher screamed, but it was too late. The wave was upon us, lifting our small car as if it weighed nothing. As the water crashed over us, as I felt myself being pulled under once again, I had one last terrifying thought. The lake had never let us go. We had never escaped, and now it was claiming us for good. The world dissolved into darkness and the rush of water. I could feel the car being tossed about like a toy, could hear the muffled screams of my friends. Then, silence. A silence so complete, it was almost deafening. I don't know how long I floated in that darkness. It could have been seconds, or it could have been years. Time seemed to have no meaning in this watery limbo. Eventually, I became aware of a light, faint at first, but growing stronger. I swam towards it, driven by some instinct I didn't fully understand. As I got closer, I could make out shapes moving in the light, familiar shapes. I broke the surface with a gasp, my lungs burning as they filled with air. I was back in the lake, the cursed lake where it had all begun. Around me, I could see the other boys from our troop, all of them just looking as confused and terrified as I felt. And there, standing on the shore, was Mr. Coldwell. But he wasn't alone. Next to him stood a figure that made my blood run cold. It was me. Or rather, it was what I might become if I gave in to the lake's power.
"Welcome home, Jack,"
Mr. Coldwell said. His voice carried easily across the water.
"You've been gone for so long, but the lake never forgot you. It's time you take your place among us."
As he spoke, I felt something brush against my leg. I looked down to see tentacles rising from the depths, wrapping around my body. But strangely, I wasn't afraid anymore. There was a part of me, a growing part, that wanted to give in, to join with the lake and become something more than human. But another part of me, the part that was still Jack, the boy who loved camping and ghost stories.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
And his friends rebelled against this. With every ounce of willpower I had left, I fought against the lake's pull.
"No," I said, my voice stronger than I expected. "This isn't real. None of this is real."
Mr. Coldwell's smile faltered for a moment.
"Oh, but it is, Jack. More real than anything you've ever known. Why fight it? Embrace the lake. Embrace your true nature."
I closed my eyes, concentrating hard. This was my mind, my reality. I didn't have to accept this nightmare. With a supreme effort of will, I imagined myself back in my room, safe and dry. When I opened my eyes, I was there, sitting up in my bed, drenched in sweat, but blessedly free of lake water. For a moment, I allowed myself to believe it had all been a terrible dream. But then I saw it. On my bedside table, where it certainly hadn't been there when I was asleep, was a small, smooth stone. A lake stone. And carved into its surface was a simple message. "We'll be waiting." I knew then that this wasn't over. The lake, Mr. Coldwell, whatever forces were at work here, they weren't done with me. Maybe they would never be done with me. But I also knew that I was not alone in this fight. Somewhere out there, Thatcher, Spork, and Blink were facing the same battle. And maybe, just maybe, if we stood together, we could find a way to truly escape the lake's grasp. As I sat there in the early morning light,
turning the stone over in my hands, I made a decision. I couldn't run anymore. I wouldn't hide. It was time to face this nightmare head on, to find out the truth about Mr. Coldwell, the lake, and why we had been chosen. The hunt was on, and this time, I wouldn't be the prey. Little did I know, this decision would lead me down a path darker and more terrifying than anything I had ever experienced by far. The true nature of the lake, the cosmic horror that lurked beneath this placid surface, was something my young mind could barely comprehend. As I sat there, the lake's stone cold in my palm, a grim determination settled over me. I knew what I had to do. I spent the next week preparing, gathering supplies, and steeling my nerves. I left a note for my parents, telling them that I loved them and not to worry. Then, in the dead of night, I slipped out of my house and made my way to the edge of town. Thatcher, Spork, and Blink were waiting for me, just as we had planned. None of us spoke as we piled into Spork's old car. We all knew what was at stake. The drive back to the campsite was tense, filled with a heavy silence. As we neared our destination, the air grew thick and oppressive, just as it had that fateful summer. We parked at the trailhead and continued on foot, each step taking us closer to the nightmare we had tried so hard to escape. The forest seemed to close in around us, branches reaching out like grasping fingers. Finally, we emerged at the shore of the lake. It looked deceptively peaceful in that pale moonlight, but we knew better. We could feel the malevolence radiating from its depths. "Are you sure about this, Jack?" Thatcher whispered, his voice trembling slightly. I nodded, my throat too tight to speak. We had discussed this at length. There was only one way to end this, to free ourselves and our town from this lake's influence. We had to destroy it at its source. We began the ritual we had prepared together from old books and internet forums. It was dangerous, forbidden knowledge, but it was our only hope. As we chanted, the lake began to churn. A thick mist rose from its surface, coalescing into the familiar form of Mr. Coldwell. "You foolish children," he hissed, his form flickering between human and something far more terrifying. "You have no idea what forces you're dealing with." We didn't falter. We couldn't. As our chant reached its crescendo, the ground began to shake. The lake's waters receded, revealing glimpses of the horrors that dwelled in its depths. Mr. Coldwell lunged at us, his form now fully monstrous. But as he reached the edge of our ritual circle, he dissolved into mist. A piercing shriek filled the air as the lake began to collapse in on itself. The trees around us groaned and twisted. Reality itself seemed to warp. "We need to go," Spork yelled over the cacophony. "This whole place is coming apart." We ran, the world unraveling behind us. I could hear inhuman voices calling my name, begging me to stay, to join them in the depths. But I didn't look back. We barely made it to the car before the wave of unreality caught up with us. Spork floored it, and we sped away as the forest behind us was swallowed by a void of nothingness. We drove through the night, not stopping until we were several states away. When we finally pulled over at a rest stop, the sun was just beginning to rise. We sat there in silence for a long while, each of us lost in our own thoughts. Finally, Blink spoke up.
"Is it over?"
he asked, his voice small and uncertain. I looked down at my hand, where the lake's stone had been. It was gone, dissolved into nothing. In that moment, I felt a weight lift from my shoulders. "Yeah," I said, allowing myself a small smile. "I think it is." We never went back to our hometown. We couldn't. The official story was that a sinkhole had opened up, swallowing the forest and lake. The town was evacuated, declared uninhabitable. We went our separate ways after that, each trying to build a new life, each trying to build a new life far from the memories of that cursed summer. But we stayed in touch, bound by the shared trauma we could never fully explain to anyone else. Years passed. The nightmares faded, becoming little more than a distant, unpleasant memory. I convinced myself that it was over, that we had won. But sometimes on quiet nights, I find myself looking out at the horizon, half expecting to see a familiar figure standing there, pale eyes gleaming in the darkness. And I wonder, with a chill running down my spine, if we really destroyed the lake, or if we just postponed the inevitable. Because deep down, in a place I try not to acknowledge, I could still hear it calling. The lake. Mr. Coldwell. The things that lurk in the spaces between reality. And sometimes, God help me, I want to answer. But I don't. I won't. That chapter of my life is closed, the book sealed shut. Whatever cosmic horror we glimpsed that summer, whatever eldritch truths we briefly touched, they're better left in the past. I'm an adult now, with a family of my own. We never told them about what had happened, and I never will. Some truths are too terrible to share. But if you're reading this, if you've made it this far, let my story be a warning. Be careful of still waters and too perfect lakes. Be wary of those whose smile never reaches their eyes. And if you ever find yourself faced with a horror too great to comprehend, run. Run and don't look back. Because not everyone is as lucky as we were. Not everyone escapes the lake.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.